Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Sorry about the weird camera angle. I just realized that as we were starting. So, like, if you're not listening to the audio version and you're looking at the video that Craig puts out on the YouTube, you're not going to see my face very much. But that's a gift from me to you. This is Bucks in the Basement. My name is Chris. His name is Craig. Check out our Vouch store. There's some really cool local companies that we're starting to support some small businesses. One's a veteran-owned business where it's disabled veterans helping other disabled veterans. And it's a coffee shop. Go check it out. There's all kinds of really cool things in there. Camp Craft cocktails. If you ever wanted to be a bartender, they send you all the ingredients in a mason jar. You just add the liquor, right? So now you're not just drinking straight from the bottle, and you can mask your problem. Anyway, this is Bucks in the Basement. My name is Chris. His name's Craig. And my first question to you, my friend, before we get into everything, before opening day and the roster and stuff like that, is why don't you like Nick Gonzalez anymore? In our fantasy baseball league, Craig made a trade, and he dumped Nick Gonzalez off of his protected 40-man roster into the ether. And I remember he gave me a pretty good player, if I'm not mistaken, years ago for Nick Gonzalez. And now Nick Gonzalez is off his team. What did you see from Nick Gonzalez as a fantasy baseball owner where you were like, I'm not waiting for him any longer?
It's nothing really new. He didn't have a terrible spring training. Jared Triolo, obviously, you know, starting second baseman, outperformed him. Leover Peguero, before he caught the flu bug that was going around down at Pirate City in Bradenton and was out for, over a week of games, was outperforming him. And honestly, it seems like they like Sungche Chang, who can play shortstop and second base, and added him to the 40-man. And with Nick Gonzalez, it's something that's been happening ever since he has been in the Pirates organization, which is that the strikeout rates just have not gone down. They've actually increased, and that's something that happens. And once you make it to the major leagues, if you have around a 30% strikeout rate, 25% strikeout rate, you can add about 5% to that. And he doesn't really have enough power. Should be more of a contact guy to make up for that. He showed power in New Mexico State because of the altitude, and that's just basically a launching pad. But we could go back to the early days of, Bucks in the Basement, and especially during the pandemic, I was kind of almost talked into people by wanting Nick Gonzalez. I think during that draft, I wanted Reed Detmers. Yeah, I don't know, Chris. I kind of had to let him go. I had acquired some other players. I wanted to add a catcher into the minors, which is way too much into my terrible dynasty fantasy baseball team. But for Nick Gonzalez, it just kind of seems like that he has been the odd man out. And if Sungche Chang continues to produce well, then you have Tamar Johnson.
Who you still have on your team.
I want to point that out team, as well. Yeah.
He had both of them on his fantasy 40 man. Think about that. He has the chance of having any player he wants to across all of Major League Baseball and all of their systems in his minor leagues. You only get to keep like 14 minor leaguers. And he was holding on to both of them. So that's a Pirates fan. That's a guy who hung on maybe a little bit too long to Nick Gonzalez. Are you giving up on him? Are you done with him? I mean, it feels like you don't think that he's ever going to amount to anything. That's why you got rid of him.
I mean, honestly, and the other part of that is I think that maybe you and maybe Ed or somebody else might be some guys that would pick him up out of spite if he starts to hit well in the minors.
Oh, yeah. And then try to trade him back to you.
Yeah. I mean, so that would be my own fault. But no,
I pick up Pirates players that are prospects and hold them to trade them to Craig when they're hot in the minor leagues. That's how I run my system. That's what I do. And Craig will always make the deal. He'll always make the deal. I'm pretty sure I ended up with Luis Robert Jr. for Nick Gonzalez years ago.
And other people. Don't just say it was like a, I don't think it was a straight up deal, Chris.
But I'm sure there were some other guys thrown in there, but I threw in the Nick Gonzalez sweetener because I knew that you would jump at him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not completely giving up on him, but as far as the team goes and roster construction goes, I just see him as kind of the odd man out here. And unless he completely changes his game that it's been since he's been in the Pirates organization, I would see him continuing to be the odd man out.
Okay, so let's talk about somebody who's actually on your roster and also on the Pirates. We'll get away from the fantasy baseball talk. But I did find that interesting because here's a guy who follows prospects like crazy. Craig is always at minor league games for the Pirates in their system and watching these guys up close. And I found that interesting that he gave up on a Pirates prospect in his fantasy league. But let's talk about Henry Davis, your opening day catcher. And I think exactly what I said was going to happen a couple of weeks ago when Yasmani Grandal joined the team is happening. He'll end up spending more time on the IL than actually catching for you. And so hopefully Henry's ready to go. What do you think about his ability to be the majority shareholder, which I think he will be now, behind the dish this year?
I mean, I honestly still think that you have to monitor his innings just because of the struggle he'll have with his legs. Hasn't caught that many games, didn't catch that many games last year, and we don't need to revisit, you know, when he was called up and put in right field and different stuff like that again. He has shown a lot of stuff to me over the past couple of weeks. The last time I think we spoke about him, he was catching some, you know, off-speed stuff, some stuff that was down in the zone and wasn't handling it very well. Got to see two games where they focus in on him a lot. I know one where Michael McHenry was there for a couple innings and talking about, you know, what he was doing behind the plate. The older people in the audience may not like this as much because I know they hate that one knee approach. But the one thing I've seen with Henry Davis is going down to that one knee, kicking the leg out, getting himself even lower into the zone because he was dropping some of those balls, like I said, especially on, you know, the off-speed pitches, and was having some pass balls. But the work that he has put in, he looked the last two times I watched him compared to when I saw him back, like probably on like maybe like the 11th or the 12th. Doesn't look like a completely different catcher, but looks like a more professional catcher and a guy that is going to, he's never going to blow you away with his defensive numbers, but he is going to do well enough that you're not going to notice him as much as, you know, I was kind of afraid of. But Chris, like we've talked about, and you can go back and listen to episodes from last year, is that saying that, you know, he would be able to be, you know, a major league catcher or develop into a major league catcher, you know, at some point during the season. A lot of people threw out, scouts that we talked to, you know, prospect experts that we talked to, said around June of this year. I mean, the guy camped up in Bradenton, worked with, you know, a lot of the Pirates development and, you know, on-field coaching to perfect this craft. So he maybe sped up that timeline a little bit because of all the work that he put in during the offseason. So, I mean, he earned it. Jason DeLay is a serviceable backup. I do think that, you know, we will see the Yasmanian devil at some point in time here, but it's going to be extremely limited. Plantar fasciitis, nothing to really, you know, He's not going to.
That's a warm-up injury. That's a warm-up injury for him, and then he'll have more injuries later.
He definitely will.
And then he'll be your DH for like all of July and August. I mean, like that's. I'm telling you that he's. You just have to look at his last couple of years to kind of like guess what it's going to be. Now, on the other hand, it did lessen the crunch for the nine guys that have to be in the batting order every day because Andrew McCutchen now will just sit in that DH spot. I mean, you've got a nice outfield. I really do like this outfield. I'll be honest with you. I really like this. This is probably one of the better outfields that I've seen the Pirates field in a while. When they added Michael A. Taylor into an outfield with Sawinski and Reynolds, I was like, wow, this is a pro outfield. You're not going to hear anybody give them a hard time about who they've got out there patrolling the outfield grass. And I really do like the roster construction the way it is right now. I love Cabrian and O'Neill Cruz on that side of the infield. You know, Triolo earned that spot at second base. Rowdy can stand at first, and Henry Davis is your catcher, and if Grandal comes along. I mean, if I had to find any hole on this team, I would say if McCutchen doesn't have a first half similar to how he got out of the box last year, you're going to be like, wow, there's a lot better hitters that are sitting on the scrap heap that you could have at DH. And your designated hitter really needs to perform with the bat. So I'm curious as to what's going to come out of that position. Like, what will DH look like at the midway point of the season? That may be the biggest question that I have when I look at the starting nine. What about you?
Well, they did have Andrew McCutchen play a little bit in the field towards the end of spring training for a couple games. I think they just wanted to see if he could do it in a pinch. I wouldn't push that too much. Obviously, you know, it would open up something if he could go sit out in right field, even if it's like a day a week.
He would just act as your fourth outfielder because you're not going to take Reynolds and Zawinski and Taylor out of the outfield on a regular basis. They're professional outfielders.
Yeah. I mean, it would be as the fourth outfielder. It would be if, I mean, we saw Brian Reynolds, he went on a little bit of a respite towards the end because his back was kind of hurting him a little bit. Like I say, I keep on saying this. You have Brian Reynolds' back problems that has shelved him at times. Keep Ryan Hayes' back problems. Rowdy Tellez' back problems. David Bednar back problems. But I just kind of wanted, I think they wanted to see if Kutch could do it. I think he will primarily be the DH. I mean, you do have fourth outfielders in Edward Olivares and then Connor Joe, who could be in the outfield. They did give him a little bit of center field just to see if he could do it. They work him out at second base at times, but primarily will be right field and first base. So there are places to fill in there. And like you said, McCutchen, if he can get out to a hot start, don't know how much that can continue, how much he can honestly play. But I mean, it is a solid lineup, Chris. I mean, it does look a lot better.
It's not what we've watched over the last couple of years.
No.
Right? It's not like we were watching guys auditioning to be in the majors. We were watching scrap heap guys that were released by teams that were being picked up and given a month's worth of at-bats to see if all of a sudden they could find a diamond in the rough. We were looking at a bench where it was just, you're the next guy who's going to get an opportunity after this guy fails. And now the bench is more like, well, we need a defensive specialist to be able to move around the infield. Well, we need to have somebody with a little bit of versatility because this starting nine really is the starting nine. And this is what we're going to war with this year. And so, like, this is a very different start to a Pirates season compared to seasons past. It's a complete lineup. There are things that you wish they would have done more of, right? It would have been nice to have added a little bit more offense in there. I know everybody loves Kutch. I know they do. But a bigger bat sitting in the middle of the order in the DH spot would have been a big help to this team. I love the idea that they got Taylor at the end, right? Getting Michael A. Taylor at the end added to your defense, gave you an everyday outfielder, gave you a center fielder, and made your defense better because you can move Reynolds to the corner. That would, in Zawinski to the corner, you were able to do that. Okay, that was a nice move. It's a pro lineup that you wish the owner spent a little bit more money on because it could be better. And then you look at the rotation, and you see a Mitch Keller, and you go, okay, his ceiling is a one. If I wasn't relying on him being the one and I knew that he was just the two, I'd be ecstatic and I'd be like, playoffs are bust. And Perez ends up right now, I think, announces the number two. He's probably really a three or a four on a competing team. Jared Jones did so well in spring that he's earned the third start, from what I understand, and he deserves that, and that's a good thing. That's a big sign right there, right? Because didn't we say that going into spring? Like, you got Keller, Perez, and Gonzalez. You don't know what's coming at the back end, and in reality, your two and your three are not two and threes in a competitive thing. Like, you wish that you saw one of them get bumped down, and Jones did that. So there's some positives there, but again, I still look at that rotation and I go, it's still missing something. I feel like we just fell short. You're gonna enjoy Aroldis Chapman coming out of the bullpen and wonder why that $10 million wasn't spent elsewhere.
Touching on a couple of the things that you brought up, having a defensive replacement in Alika Williams, and that's pretty much all he is. I know it caused quite a stir on Pirates X and, you know, all over social media because Leover Pagueira was sent down. As soon as that, you know, move was made, the first thing that I pointed out was that, you know, Leover Pagueira caught that terrible flu bug that caused, you know, Colin Holderman is starting the season on the IL because of it, because he lost 15 pounds and ended up in the hospital trying to get fluids and gained, like, you know, maybe about 5 pounds of that back so far. So, I mean, there's a piece of that where, you know, even if Leover Pagueira doesn't catch that, there's a possibility he still maybe goes down. I know a lot of people bring up the point that, you know, he doesn't need any more, you know, minor league at bats. He has over 1,000 minor league at bats. But there is that piece of getting regular at bats. And with, you know, the amount of, you know, off days you have in the first couple of weeks, I know they play, like, you know, four straight to start, or I think it's, you know, 5 days straight to start, but they get an off day. And there's stuff thrown in there. So I don't know how much, and I think I even mentioned that before, how much a guy would be able to get in and spread that around. That can change as the season goes on. But more, I mean, Pagueira has to go back down, get built back up, get back in, get regular bats, and kind of, you know, if he starts to perform like he did at the beginning of spring training and was, you know, pushing Jared Triolo for that second base spot, then I think he may be up sooner rather than later. But, I mean, I see Alika Williams as a guy that, you know, comes in late inning defensive replacement and maybe has to make one start a week for the first few weeks, but nothing more than that. The rotation you bring up, Chris, I mean, yeah, Jared Jones, like we said, I think last week, did everything he could to be in the starting rotation, didn't really do anything wrong. His last outing, he went out there. Did have a little bit of his command issues. So I'm just going to take a minute for everybody. I mean, I'm excited, but everybody knows I'm usually a glass half empty kind of guy, or at least, you know, I think I put up on top of the screen here. It's going to be in the title as cautiously optimistic. Number one, with Jared Jones, the one problem he has had in the minors has been control. His walks, he had like four strikeouts, but also had four walks, was able to induce some soft contact and get some double plays to get out of that. But the walks have been an issue for him. The other piece with Jared Jones, and it's, he's not going to pitch the whole season at the majors. He's going to get the Rowanzi treatment. He had 122 innings, then 126 innings. He's going to top out at maybe 160 innings. He will get sent down, I'm predicting, to the minors at some point in time during the season to get, quote unquote, shut down, rested, built back up, brought back up for the end. But, I mean, it is exciting, and he did perform pretty much better than, you know, any pitcher, you know, on the roster that was in the in spring training. So definitely well deserved. But when you start to look at the back end of that, before we hopped on here, Chris, you know, Bailey Falter, they're announcing that he's in the rotation. To me, this,
it's a weird thing because he's in the rotation, yeah. And Ortiz is in the bullpen, and it's a weird
relief, yeah.
Well, that's also strange. I mean, if we're going to talk about Bailey Falter, and we got to talk about this whole idea of the bulk reliever, because, you know, Falter makes the rotation Ortiz, Contreras, and Fleming. All three of those guys completely capable of pitching multiple innings. What strategy is this? Like, that's the thing. Like, to me, there's a strategy in that. I don't know exactly what it is. The idea that that the Pirates are going to be a kind of team that they're not as concerned about the guy even going through the order a second time. Like, is the bottom of their rotation not that important to them? Because Gonzalez, let's remember about Marco Gonzalez. This is a professional pitcher, but this is also a guy that's generally a five on most good teams and has been moved around a little bit lately because of inconsistencies. He could end up being a really nice pitcher in your rotation. But if he's not, even though he's an innings eater, he could also be somebody that there's a day where Shelton's like, yeah, we're going to win this game. I can already see him losing it in the fourth. Here comes a bulk reliever. It seems as though like you're setting up your bullpen right now to be able to bail pitchers out earlier than traditionally. And that's at least how he's approaching things out of the gate. And it's a shame. Again, it goes back to the idea that they're one hitter and one pitcher away from me sitting there saying this is a playoff team. Like, they have a chance. You don't know who's going to come out of the minor leagues. You don't know about these young pitchers and when they're going to make their way up here. And all of a sudden, maybe that bolsters it. And maybe, finally, I mean, we're at that point now with this team where professional baseball players hold all nine spots, I would say, on the field. And now if you want to make your way onto the roster, if you want to break in, you better earn it and take somebody's job. And we've been waiting for that for years. So maybe that happens. Maybe somebody, you know, magically becomes like a bat down in the minors that they can't keep down anymore. But like that's what you're waiting to see as the season goes on. Right now, it feels like the strategy is we don't know how this rotation is going to react. So we want to make sure that they have an awful lot of help that can come in very early.
And that's the way, you know, it kind of looks like when you name Bailey Falter the starter, and I looked at the stuff from last year, when he comes in, like when he starts a game, and this is over, you know, 63 innings, he has a 1.556 whip and a 6.57 ERA. When the Pirates started to use him kind of in that role where he had an opener, and then came in after, like, you know, somebody's gone through, like, you know, either like not even the full roster, but it's just gone through the top of the order. I mean, his whip drops the whole way down below one to 0.906. So in naming him a starter, I mean, they would have named him a starter last year, even though they used an opener with him at times. So I don't know if it's going to come with an opener.
Well, that's what's weird. Like, why wouldn't you just make the opener the starter, right? Like, isn't that strange, right? So then what are you trying to tell me? You're trying to tell me that Ortiz is going to be an opener? Or are you really going to open with one of your relief pitchers, have Falter come in then in the middle innings, and then you got the bulk relievers for something else? Like, it's one of those things where, like, we're watching this to see how it's going to work, because it's not like they're going to sit there and map it out for us. But they're doing something very interesting. And I don't even know if it's going to – it's interesting if it works. It's maddening if it doesn't. And I think we'll be discussing it a lot in the opening month or so.
The thing with and the other part that they could go to, the other thing is that Ortiz could be the bulk reliever piggyback for Falter when he goes, you know, hopefully, you know, 2 to 3 innings. And then you bring Ortiz in and you give – I mean, I think that Ben Cherington and the analytics kind of like that kind of stuff where you get kind of like a soft tossing lefty. And then you bring a righty fireballer in there who throws, you know, 97 to 99, has shown that he can go, you know, over 100 at least, you know, at times, and throws a wipeout slider. So, you know, trying to, you know, flip that stuff open a little bit. And then also if he could do that with Marco Gonzalez, if Marco Gonzalez would get into trouble. As an opener, I mean, I would maybe see a pitcher like, you know, a Hunter Stratton to kind of come in there, or even, you know, Roansy to have him open and then go to Bailey Falter, because it's two different types of pitchers. And like I said, Bailey Falter has shown better even last year and throughout his career. He has better numbers as a quote-unquote reliever, even if they ask him to pitch a starter's workload, you know, 4, 5, 6 innings. So I think that at times Ben Cherington and company and the analytics think that they're smarter than they are. But I mean, they used a 2-man rotation last year with Johan Oviedo and Mitch Keller as the traditional starters. And then they had Andre Jackson, Bailey Falter, and a number of guys kind of in those, I guess, fluid roles, where they can be an opener, they can be a bulk relief, they can be a piggyback, and it kind of worked that stuff out. And in the end, I mean, you're pretty much waiting for hopefully Quinn Priester to perform well in AAA, or Paul Skeens to just light the world on fire in AAA and come up and take that rotation spot. Then you also have Eric Lauer, who they signed late and is building up on innings. Domingo Herman, who we've spent way too much time talking about, you know, getting built up and getting, you know, some innings there. So they do have.
Well, yeah, he's coming. He's coming to the rotation if he actually is able to keep it all together and he gets there. He'll be in the rotation.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, there was another article that came out where Domingo Herman was talking about how he doesn't have a problem and wanted to leave. You know, somebody went down and interviewed him, and it just doesn't, it's not a great look for the Pirates. Let's just say everything we talked about them doing their due diligence, who knows if they really did. It's just frustrating. But if he does hold it together, if he does pitch well, you have that. So you basically have four pitchers who should be ready fairly soon to take one of those rotation spots. If Marco Gonzalez isn't performing well, if health becomes an issue, and then he maybe has to have a stint on the IL, you do have that backup. But like I said, it was very weird to make it the statement that Bailey Falter is in the starting rotation. But I go back to something that Derek Shelton said, I don't know when it was. It was during spring training a couple years ago, where it's just like they see a lot of pitchers as arms. And I know I think I brought this up to you recently as well. And it's basically like if a guy can show that he can be a starter, like a Mitch Keller, hopefully like a Martin Perez, a Jared Jones, then they get a little bit more of a leash. But at the in the end, after that, it's kind of like we can put guys into multiple and different roles. And maybe, you know, if Falter falters, then Luis Ortiz is that starter. And he didn't get built up enough, or they didn't see enough good stuff from him, you know, during spring training to name him a starter. It just feels icky a little bit. Something that completely could have been done if they went out and just got another starter. Like we've said,
are still pitchers out there. And the fallback on what you just said about Herman, I mean, look, if the guy has shown multiple times that he's got an issue drinking and he's giving an interview saying, I don't have a problem and I still drink, if there's a place for me to bet on him not being on the Pirates by the end of the year, can I please put my hard-earned money down on it? Like, I'm just, you almost like look at that and say, oh, he hasn't hit rock bottom yet. There's another thing coming with him. So that's not really even a signing that I can even sit there and say this is going to have a major impact on the team. So Ben Cherington in the front office failed in terms of adding pitching. Okay. I mean, I'll go back to what I said last time. You don't have that problem if your owner's not cheap, but you spent the money in the wrong way. On the other hand, flipping back to this bullpen, I am astounded by the amount of guys in the bullpen with starting pitching experience, which goes to something that we've said on this show so many times. You can find relief pitchers anywhere because they're just a bunch of failed starters. Ryan Borucki was a starter a long time ago with the Blue Jays. He's an expected rotation piece, right? Luis Ortiz, Ranzi, Josh Fleming. I mean, I actually use him as a starting pitcher for 2 years on my fantasy team, so I know he's got a lot of starting experience. All these guys are sitting inside of your bullpen. So I see all these guys in my bullpen. I see how easy it is to find arms for your bullpen. Then I look at the hole in your starting rotation and I go, misspent your money. I think I'm going to be saying it all year. I really do. I think I'm going to be saying it all year long. I'm going to look at Aroldis Chapman and $10 million. I'm going to look at what you spent on Herman. I'm going to take that amount of money and I'm going to look at the pitchers that were available. And I'm going to say, what the heck? What were you doing here? I mean, who just got signed? Didn't Lorenzen just take $4.5 million to be with the Rangers? Now, of course, he probably wants to play for a winner. That's great. But if the Pirates would have offered him 10, you're telling me that he wouldn't have taken double the money to go pitch for the Pirates this year?
And if it was on a one-year deal, probably ending up with the Rangers or somebody else anyway.
Think about that. If you've just got $10 million and your option is to go and tell Michael Lorenzen, we're going to pay twice what the Rangers are offering you. Come take the money, young man. And you know he would. What kind of crazy person on a one-year deal doesn't take double the money? We're talking $5 million extra dollars. $5.5 million extra dollars than what he got from the Rangers. You had all offseason to go make a deal like that with him or other pitchers like him. Either it's so bad in Pittsburgh that nobody wants to play here no matter what money you throw at him, and I don't think that's the case. Or you just misallocated your funds. Because look at what you have to do and how creative you got to get with your rotation when you could have just gone out and gotten another starter. And so it is going to be the thing. I'm going to bang this drum all year. I'm sorry. I know it's going to drive people nuts. They're going to be like, gosh, I keep hearing Chris complain about the fact they spent $10 million on Aroldis Chapman when they should have gotten a starting pitcher, but they should have gotten a starting pitcher. Because the way that they addressed it was wrong. They had all offseason to handle it. They were wrong. And this is coming from a guy who has said for years, give Charrington a chance. He's dealing with a cheap owner. I don't judge a GM on what he spends. I judge a GM on how he spends the money allocated to him. Because he doesn't get to make the budget, but when he gets the budget, he's got to spend the money properly. And I look at the allocation of funds, and I look at the holes, and I say, I don't get it.
Yeah,
and that's why they have to be creative. That's why they have to be as creative as they're being right now. If it works out, and he's standing there beating his chest in July going, well, we went with all these guys that could go in long relief, and that's why we didn't go get the other starter. Because we knew he had these young guys, and then we needed Chapman to be with Bednar in the back end because of this plan, and that's why we put the money there. And see, there are the results. I'll eat crow and eat my words. Because we came up with something like Tampa Bay Ray-ish, right? Or like the A's when they did the Moneyball thing. Like, we came up with something. We found something that nobody else had discovered yet. Fine, I'll eat crow. But I don't know if I'm going to be eating crow on this one. I think instead I'm going to be like, I should have gone and gotten another starting pitcher.
Yeah, and you mentioned Josh Fleming as a bulk guy. I mean, he's a guy that was competing for the starting rotation, and they had starting games in spring training, so he's kind of stretched out. Luis Ortiz is stretched out. So, I mean, it can go a lot of different ways. I mean, the one thing I did want to say, you know, kind of before we get out of here, because we're running over already, but just to explain to people, Ryder Ryan is on the team. Hunter Stratton had a good spring training, was DFA'd, brought him back on a minor league deal, fought to make the team. But go on to Fangraph's roster resource. Look at the options that people have. They both have options. So that basically, hopefully, you know, when Colin Holderman has his weight back up and is pitching well, Carmen Majinski starts pitching some bullpens, and hopefully, you know, that forearm strain was caught early enough and doesn't turn into anything, and he's back. You can option those guys back down without losing anybody. So, I mean, that's the one thing I know that Ben Charrington is big on, is having guys there with options. Not saying that Hunter Stratton didn't earn the spot. You know, Ryder Ryan didn't pitch great in spring, but he's a guy that they like, those types of guys. He's a sinker baller, throws for soft contact. They like to have those guys in the bullpen at different places. So, I mean, but just look to see. Don't be surprised when those two guys, you know, hopefully come back from there, that, you know, those guys are optioned down. And we could see them again, you know, during the season. But it's just that things with the roster crunch, you have to make those types of moves to add guys, because it has to be guys with options, because you're not going to put, you know, I think Brent Honeywell maybe should have made it, but you're not going to put him in there and then all of a sudden have to bring somebody back and then risk losing him. He's a guy that if he stays with the team, doesn't opt out, isn't released because they have those different release dates and stuff, Follow Ethan Houlihan for all of that and all those dates. He just wrote an article on that. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely very interesting how the roster came together. But man, you should have added another starting pitcher. And like that, I'll keep saying that, Chris. You'll keep saying the allocated funds, and we'll go from there as the season starts.
Yeah, that's it. Should have gotten another pitcher. We'll see what happens. Okay? I mean, let's go 4-3 on the road trip to kick things off. Get to opening day in Pittsburgh and see what happens. They get off to a hot start. Anything can happen this year.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change.